I have a theme word this evening that may be very welcome and dear to us. It's the word rest. And most of us like the concept and probably even the word rest. The term itself is defined in a number of different ways. And in fact, the definitions in the dictionary that I have at hand in my office take up about one half of an entire column. There are at least 36 different distinctive meanings given. Here are a few of them. The refreshing quiet or repose of sleep. That kind of rest we want to avoid tonight, okay? So, at least right now. Refreshing ease or inactivity after exertion or labor. Relief or freedom, especially from anything that wearies, troubles, or disturbs. Mental or spiritual calm, tranquility. The word rest appears in the Bible about 275 times, and it appears in the letter to the Hebrews 10 times. And I invite you to look at several verses with me from Hebrews chapter 4, for the next few minutes to consider one of the ways primarily that the author of Hebrews speaks of rest. Hebrews 4:9 reads that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And verse 11 exhorts us, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Now, the word translated labor in verse 11 has the idea of being zealous about something. It's not necessarily a totally physical thing, although it can be, but it's to take pains to accomplish something. It's the same word that you'll find in 1 Timothy, to study, to show yourself approved unto God. And we know that means more than just reading books and learning lists. But it means to concentrate on something and to try to accomplish a task for the Lord. Many in this room know what it is to work eagerly, dedicatedly, even exhaustingly. You've perhaps had a project that you've worked on at some time, or maybe just a chore, and you have the satisfaction of completing the task after you have expended a great deal of effort. And again, concentration, planning, that kind of thing. It's when you've completed that that you have a joyful sense of accomplishment. And we take pleasure in what our work produced. We think about, that looks much nicer, or that's going to be much more efficient, or I'm going to show Fred what I was able to do. And there's certainly nothing wrong in that. We sit down, perhaps, to take our breath and maybe get a drink, think about things, look at our list to see what's next to do, just relax our muscles and our minds. We've come to rest. I don't know anyone who would not be happy to have a well-deserved rest. Obviously, the writer to Hebrews is not merely talking about physical rest after an exhausting job that you've been toiling at. We all know Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11, 28 and 9, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, this is right after he said, I'll give you rest. So he puts us to work, but he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And we know that verse, and that's a wonderful reminder in Matthew 11, how the Lord cares for us. And we're not just to be idle. The scriptures know nothing about holy laziness, but we do need rest from labors. And of course, as I say, it goes beyond just the physical. Now, this word in Hebrews 4:9, translated rest, in the King James translation at least, is a special term, and it's used only here in the New Testament, just one time, and this is it. And it means literally a Sabbath keeping, or the rest of a Sabbath day. And that word and that idea should take our thoughts back to Genesis chapter 2. In the first three verses, where God, having created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, saw his creation, found it very good, he was pleased with it, and he ceased his perfect work, and he hallowed that seventh day in commemoration. And in verse 3 of Genesis 2, we read this, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." And as you know, he also codified a seventh-day rest in the very law that he gave to Israel through Moses. And the fourth commandment specified that they were to work during the 6 days of each week, but they were to rest the seventh day because God did the same in his creative work. And much of the world, probably without ever realizing it, has a seven-day cycle of work and rest. And for many, it is 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. I suppose if you're a union man, you have 4 days of work and then 3 days off. But that's probably not true. The writer mentions this very same thing in Hebrews 4:4. He thinks back on God's seventh day, the rest day, that hallowed special day that he made. And he wanted Israel to be reminded of his creative work and, of course, of their labors on a very regular basis. Now, I hope you know I'm not urging us to observe a rest day as the Orthodox Jews did then and still do today. That was, in fact, one of the stubborn issues that they raised with Jesus, because he didn't follow the rabbinic teachings about Sabbath keeping. And there are a number of incidences like that. I mentioned one recently in the message. In John chapter 5, where he simply speaks to a man, "Would you be well?" And he said, "I can't get in the pool." And he says, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And he went home carrying this thing, this mat that he was on. And these guardians of Jewish orthodoxy caught him and said, you're violating the Sabbath. He said, "The man who healed me after 38 years of being lame told me to do it." And, of course, they found out it was Jesus and persecuted him. The fact is that the rabbis, in their traditions, have put layer upon layer of regulations on the common people, just over the simple commands of God, and until it was a burden to them. They were trying to do what they believed was God's will, and yet through all these traditions, it just became a terrible burden. Still is in many cases. Jesus reproached these scribes and Pharisees for it. He told them in Mark 2 that the Sabbath was made for man's benefit. What they were doing, the scribes and Pharisees, they acted as though man was created simply to observe the Sabbath and bent all their efforts to just keep that day properly according to their dictates. Well, anyway, that was a continuing issue with the Lord and the scribes and Pharisees. Well, this verse in Hebrews, this Sabbath rest for the people of God, is not one rest day in seven. That's not what he's talking about. It is the confident spiritual repose that those who know that their sins have been washed away through Jesus' blood on Calvary have as they realize that sin debt was paid. And they will no longer be held guilty for the sins that they really did commit, but which Jesus took on himself. Now that's the essence of the gospel, and you hear that a lot here, and you should. And I hope we hear that on a very regular basis here. The Sabbath rest is also the ease of mind and heart, knowing that our fellowship and our service for God is not dependent for success on our exertions. We are coupled with Christ himself in his yoke. And it's an easy labor if he's in the other side of the oak. He enables us. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And we're not idle, but we're with him in the oak. And we labor with him as the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the wisdom to honor him and to be faithful in doing his will. And our Sabbath rest is a tranquility of soul that abides in us because we know that he will keep his promises to us. That not only have we passed from spiritual death to life, but we will never come into judgment as God's enemies, even though once we were. He will change even our bodies to be like his own. And in glorification, we will be able to enjoy and serve him in ways we can't even think of now. And it'll be joyful and not laborious. It'll be so satisfying that we won't think that there's any effort involved because there really won't be the feeling of that effort. The songwriter, familiar song that we sing sometimes, expressed it this way, I rest in thee, trust in thee, and I place my life in thy hands. I will follow thee, my Savior. Lead on, my shepherd. Lead on. So, are we resting in the Lord? Are we in his word, resting there? Are we with him in the yoke? Are we relying on his promises? They are absolutely sure and certain. He has taken oaths on our behalf. Do we have that relief or freedom, especially from anything that wearies, troubles, or disturbs? Are we experiencing the mental or spiritual calm or tranquility that defines rest for us? And as we consider the Lord's goodness to us, we offer him a sacrifice of praise called the fruit of our lips. And it pleases him. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that as well later on in the book. And as we take hold of his promises, we bring our petitions to him even tonight. We rest in the fact that he cannot lie. He will accomplish what he has purposed to do through us. And our prayers are not in vain if they're spoken from the heart. And we desire to obey and show love to him. We work hard, and we should. But we work to honor the Lord and provide for his glory as others see us. Let us labor to enter into that Sabbath rest, that Sabbath keeping, that honored, specially set apart day that Christ provided for us through his justifying work on Calvary. And the Holy Spirit enables us to enjoy as we walk in the Spirit and are led by the Spirit. And he gives us the ability to do a sanctifying work in this world through the Word of God. Rest, especially a Sabbath rest, hallowed by God, and to be enjoyed by us as we labor to enter in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your provisions. They're more than we really can think about and enumerate. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and for the blessed Holy Spirit of God who works in us and through us and spreads abroad your love through us to others. And we pray that as we seek to do your will, as we even physically work hard at tasks, we know that we're serving you and not man. And as we labor in prayer, we ask that according to your promises, that you will hear and answer according to your will and in your good time and way. And we ask that you'll give us that confidence so that we can have a quiet repose for our souls as we consider these things that you've reminded us about Help us for Jesus' sake. Amen.